Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right. We'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the right wing, in and out, dribble between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable Show, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball. Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean here with you, reminding you that the Warriors 25-26 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. A full hour of Warriors talk here on 95.7 The Game. If you want to get in on the conversation, hit us up, 888-957-9570. A lot to get to, Saint. First off, and most importantly, Stephen Curry is back, and it has been awesome to get back in the lineup, to watch him back out on the court for the Warriors after 2 months plus out with runner's knee. He returned in a huge way on Sunday in the loss to the Houston Rockets, and yeah, they certainly had some bumps last night. Not exactly how you drop a win against the Sacramento Kings, but they did get the win. But Saint, as Steve Kerr said after the loss to the Rockets, when 30 is in the lineup, you feel like you have a chance.
Well, Steve's correct. And I think you could feel the fans and the teammates, the coaches, everybody was really electrified by him coming back. And there he is out there, you know, playing with joy and smiling and knocking down the unbelievable threes and just kind of what you expect from him. That's what we've had for all these years. And that's hard to come back like that. And boy, he did it in beautiful fashion.
Yeah, he certainly did. It was around like the COVID season, 2021, when I started to consciously tell myself, because it was after the year where he only played five games because of the broken wrist, where I was like, all right, make sure you enjoy every second this guy is on the court. And yes, Steph has said that he signed through next season, and he says he feels like he could play well beyond next season, that he's got a few more years left in the tank. But no matter how many years he has left, really, as a guy is now 38 years old, as he approaches his 40s and maybe he's playing into his 40s, still, you don't want to take this for granted. You want to enjoy and cherish every time you could see this guy play the game of basketball.
When people talk to me and say, you know, what's going on with the team? And I talk about the injuries and the fact the team's getting older and all that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, just tonight, just watch Steph Curry, and he's going to make you happy. Just watch him play the game on and off the ball, and his interaction with his teammates. And it's just so darn special. And I think everybody recognizes it in the whole entire NBA. And, I'm going to share with you, it's hard to come back like he did. And then his willingness, Kev, to come off the bench. Now, there's a lot of older guys that say, hey, once I get warm, I want to go. I don't want to get warm and then sit on the bench for a while and then go back in. But, you know, he's willing to do it. That's his humility. And any way he can help the team. And it was another page for the book.
It was his first time coming off the bench in the regular season in 14 years. Of course, he came back from injury at the start of the 2022 playoffs, and they started Jordan Poole ahead of Stephen Curry in the first round against the Denver Nuggets, I think for the first four games. Basically, they kept him off the bench until they finally lost. They got up 3-0 that series, lost a close game, game four, and then I believe he started game five and started the rest of the 2022 playoff run there. So he had done it somewhat recently, but not in the regular season for 14 years. The Warriors are coming off a 5-point win over the Sacramento Kings, and not exactly how you'd want that game to go. Not their last four wins have been against tanking teams, and they've all gone into clutch game situations, 5-point game inside the final 5 minutes. To me, the most interesting thing that happened in this game, and it got clarified for me with the Anthony Slater article, the Warriors are down 101-100 with 3 minutes to go. at 3:15 to go, and Seth Curry is intentionally fouled. This is like coaching minutia, but I really want to get your perspective on this, Saint, because when it happened, what I thought was Doug Christie didn't realize they were in the bonus. And that's essentially what Anthony Slater's ESPN article said today. Because fans thought, oh, and Draymond Green said, I just watched a team intentionally foul Seth Curry. He's a career 86% free throw shooter. Here's the situation. So, and Saint, you can talk to this having been on the sidelines. Maybe the rule was different back then, but you can only take two timeouts into the final 3 minutes.
There you go. That's the key.
And the Kings had three timeouts. And if there's one thing about coaches that I've come to learn watching G League, calling G League basketball for 14 years, watching the NBA for 30 years, watching college basketball, having worked in college basketball myself, and more on the college side, coaches love to call timeouts. They do not want a timeout to go to waste. So when it gets to around 3 minutes, they're going to do whatever they can if they have an opportunity to take a timeout. Now, Doug Christie's thinking was that Sacramento had not put Golden State in the bonus, and you can't call a timeout when you're on defense unless there is a dead ball. So he intentionally fouled thinking that they had a foul to give. His mistake? They didn't have a foul to give, and they put a very good free throw shooter at the line. It only dinged him for 1 point. But there were fans saying that this was like an obvious sign of tanking. I thought in the moment, I'm like, yeah, I bet he just didn't realize they were in the bonus. And I am going to pat myself on the back because I love this little coaching minutia stuff. I found that very interesting. And it only cost the Kings 1 point, but it became like a huge talking point in this game, Saint.
And the irony of it was that when he did get a dead ball, called a timeout, he drew up a play and they ran and they got a three. So he got three trading for two.
Yeah,
now, I'll take you way, way back. In the old days, we didn't have many guys on the bench. So a lot of times the trainers usually always keep track of the timeouts. So okay. That info is usually shared with the head coach or the top assistant, who then passes it on to the coach. So for me, it was just a lack of communication and an honest mistake. I haven't seen it magnified like that the way it was, but that's today's world. We didn't have the kind of interaction that goes on today. So if some team did it in Orlando, we didn't hear about it in the Bay Area. And so I think your explanation is absolutely perfect, right on. And, you know, he admitted it. He didn't know. And, you know, that you stress that to your players, time and score. And yeah. The real veteran guys, they know when there's one to give. They all know.
Yeah.
And a lot of the young guys just aren't used to that stuff. So, and then to compound it, they foul Seth Curry, who's shooting, what, 85%?
For his career, McDermott, an 86% shooter. Yeah.
Yeah. And McDermott, veteran guy, maybe 10 years in the league.
Yeah.
I don't think he had any idea what was going on with the time and score. He just listened to the bench hollering. And he committed the foul, and holy cow, and you probably saw it today. Now they're thinking of, you know, all the rules, the discussions about the tanking stuff, and they just magnified this and saying, Utah and somebody else got fined already, and oh my gosh, they ought to really fine the Kings. The reality is that I think it was just an honest mistake. They played themselves down to four, I think, right now, the Kings, because the last 15, 20 games, they were almost 500.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy. So they haven't really been trying. I mean, look, they haven't thrown, like, their best lineups. You know, they've sat, you know, Sabonis, LaVine, and all that. But, like, it's not egregious. It's not like, you know, playing a starter 25 minutes and then when he's playing well, pull him for the rest of the game, which some teams have done. And some of the call-ups this year, I don't want to single guys out, but, like, guys who have been called up from the G League this season aren't necessarily guys that, if you look at G League games, would be like, oh, this guy is clearly an NBA player. There are guys getting called up from G League games, from G League teams, and playing 48 minutes in NBA games. So there's been some interesting stuff this year. Did they have that rule, Saint, when you were coaching, that you could only take two timeouts in the final 3 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been there for over 40 years, 50 years.
Have you ever been in a situation where you weren't sure you were going to get the ball back with 3:01 plus to go, and so you fouled with a foul to give just so you could call that timeout?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that happens a lot. If you just watch the games closely, you'll see that happen a lot, because you made a great point. You were right on. Coaches love timeouts. They just do. They it's their feel of having the teacher is talking to the students, and he wants to have it in a tight quarters. And, depending upon, again, how you're doing, you may be calling it to get a play going that really is going to jump your team and get a catalyst going for the last few minutes. But, yeah, that happens more than you think.
Calling all foodies, join us this Sunday, April 12th, for Taste of Thrive City, an event celebrating the vibrant flavors of Thrive City restaurant and bars. Get your tickets now at thrivecity.com. Time for a break. When we come back, we will discuss more about that win over the Sacramento Kings. A little Charles Bassey talk. He had a double-double last night, the former Santa Cruz Warrior. He's played on a ton of teams this year. We'll look ahead to the final games of the season, all that and more. When we come back, also taking your calls right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Learn more about becoming a Warriors season ticket holder. Secure seats to all Warriors home games for postseason and next season, plus perks like access to exclusive events, Warriors shop discounts, and more. Call 888-GSW-HOOP or visit warriors.com to learn more. You're here with Kevin Ann and Gary St. Jean on Warriors Roundtable, 95.7 The Game. We are with you for the next 45 minutes or so. And Saint, I wanted to get your take on this, talking about the Warriors game. The Warriors getting that win last night, 110-105, and it looks like, so it doesn't look like we have Saint right now, so I'll fill for you. But Charles Bassey, I wanted to talk about Charles Bassey because, A, I saw this guy a ton with the Santa Cruz Warriors this year. This guy has played with the Memphis Grizzlies, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Boston Celtics, and now Golden State all this season. Oh, yeah, and Santa Cruz. So he's played with five different teams at either the G League or the NBA level. And he had 14 points and 12 rebounds last night. He was awesome, played 27 minutes, had a couple of blocks. And the guy was really good in the G League this year. He's like 20-12 or something like that with Santa Cruz. And he has a little more to his game than he's even shown in these first couple of games with Golden State, with which he has shown a lot. His hands have actually impressed me a lot in these games alone. He shot pretty well from three with Santa Cruz. He didn't take a ton, but he would take some threes. And he was hitting at around a 40% clip for a decent part of the G League season. Now, it's not the biggest sample size, but he can hit them when he's open. I've seen him hit like go-ahead threes, crunch-time threes in G League games. And another thing about him, he's from Nigeria, and there's a guy, as we have Saint back with us now, Saint. We're just talking about Charles Bassey right here.
Yeah.
The guy double-double last night. There's a Bay Area media member from Nigeria, which is where Bassey's from. Oluwafemi Adefeso. I've known this guy a little bit. Really good dude. And he watched Bassey play in high school. And he told me that when Bassey, before he came over to the United States, he played with the ball in his hand growing up in Nigeria. So he's used to handling the rock, doing a little bit of that. I mean, I'm not going to say he was like Kevon Looney when Kevon Looney was a point guard in Milwaukee. I haven't seen the tape myself. But I do know that he is comfortable playing with the ball in his hand. Then when he came to the United States, they kind of made him into more of a traditional big. But we're seeing the hands are pretty good for Charles Bassey. And he was really impressive last night, Saint.
He really was. And your point about the hands, he's very comfortable away from the paint, like setting picks and rolling and timing and stuff like that. Aggressive on the boards, finished pretty well. If my memory serves me right, he had a cup of coffee with the Celtics. I don't know if it was summer league, training camp, or whatever. And they liked him, and they decided to keep that guy that they have from Portugal, Misu, or is that his name, the big guy?
You talking about from the Celtics? Yeah. Namia Skata?
Yeah. And
Hey,
this guy here, and it's so quick to make a judgment, but I could see I'm always looking at guys you could bring in as a fifth big. You know, you got your core three, maybe four, and figuring filling out your roster, especially with the roster being expanded now. And my first look, and I like the guy. I thought he did a really nice job.
I think he has a real chance, to your point, Saint, to be like that last big on the roster next year. Like, and that's a spot, like, if Al Horford comes back, if Kristaps Porzingis comes back, like, you're going to need a young-ish big at the end of the bench who, in a pinch, could give you 20 to 25 minutes in a game and be a reasonable facsimile of a, you know, replacement-level starter. And I think Charles Bassey can do that.
And to your point, those guys, history will tell you, with they're not going to play back-to-backs very often, and they're going to miss 20-plus games. I mean, that's just the fact of life. And I think in a perfect world, if the numbers worked, I think a quick look, I think the Warriors would like to have Porzingis come back. And, you know, Al's not playing, but I'm sure he's had a heck of an impact on this locker room and just talking to the bigger guys of what he sees and feels. And he's just got a reputation as one of the best guys in the entire NBA over the last 15-plus years. So, yes, you're right on. When you get a guy like that, he's going to get a chance to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And for fans wondering, yes, Charles Bassey is eligible to play in the play-in tournament. So, if you sign a full standard deal, like you're on the 15-man roster, you can play in the playoffs. Two-way guys, if you're on a two-way contract, you are not eligible for the postseason. Yeah. That includes the play-in. So, Malachi Lyons, LJ Cryer, Nate Williams, we love you, but because you're on a two-way contract, you're not going to be able to play in the postseason. So they will finish up April 12th against the Clippers. Again, if you want to call us up, 888-957-9570. Let's hold out to let's head out to an old regular here on the show, Bob in Reno. What's going on, Bob?
Dude, I'm doing great, guys. It's a beautiful day. How are you guys doing?
Now, doing swell.
Doing great.
Bob.
It's a beautiful down here in the Bay, too.
I just want to talk to you guys about this last game of the season. I mean, what are your guys' biggest things with seeing the Warriors to end the season? Is the chemistry, you think, a little bit better with guys coming back, becoming healthy? And if they, let's just hypothetically, if the Warriors do really well in this play-in tournament, they get that first round. I mean, what are you expecting with the Warriors? What's your guys' playoff expectations with the Golden State Warriors going into all this madness with the play-in?
Well, I'm kind of crazy and old. I think when you got Steph Curry, you're always going to have a chance. And with him coming back and looking so darn good, and I think Porzingis and Horford will play, which moves Draymond over to his comfort level, and Melton having a very, very good game last night, and
that was huge.
You got Porzingis looking like he might play all 82 games, which I think is a heck of a feat. I love the way Peyton's playing. And so with that said, if you ask me today, I think I'd rather play Portland. I think there's less experience there.
Yes.
And with that said, you win that one. Well, then you got to win another one against the loser of the Suns and – who's that going to be, Kev? Who they're going to wind up?
The Suns, Clippers, or Suns, Blazers.
Okay. So you know what? That's not insurmountable. So you could win that. And then, you know, then you get yourself into 7 or 8 and you'd have a shot. But you know what? If you fast forward to tomorrow night, I don't know if Steph's going to play. We'll see what the story is. You know, you're looking at this and you're saying he needs a little rest maybe. Well, you get a little bit more rest if he doesn't play until Friday. Whereas if he plays tomorrow, then he's you know, going to have a day of time off after that. But what I'm going to share is the Lakers really need these games. Now, they are all, we'll get to this later, but they've got huge, the worst injuries in the league. But they play the Lakers, the Suns at home, and Utah at home. And if by some chance they could win three, no matter what Houston does, the Lakers have the tiebreaker. So, you know, LeBron played great the other night. Maybe he can bring it again. That's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it is. Bob, thank you for the call. I would echo what Saint says. Definitely I'd rather play Portland. I know that Portland went 3-1 against the Warriors, but this is a team that hasn't sniffed the postseason in 5 years. And this group that they have right now wasn't on the Portland Trail Blazers when they were in the playoffs. Those were the Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum days. So that was a long time ago in basketball years. I'd much rather face a green team in the play-in. And then obviously you're going to have to face either Phoenix or the Clippers if Portland is the 9. Portland might be the 8. They do have the inside track on the 8. But I would take my chances with Portland. Then you're locked into 8 if you can make it out of the play-in if you're Golden State. So that very likely means the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is going to be a tall, tall task. But if anyone can give you a rational confidence, it's Stephen Curry. So you take your chances if you can get to that. Thank you very much for the call, Bob. And don't miss Fan Night tomorrow, folks. April 9th, live at Chase Center. The Dubs face the Los Angeles Lakers, presented by Chase Freedom. It's the last home game of the regular season. All fans get a Warriors clear backpack. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives standing by. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll break down the game coming up against the Lakers, a look ahead to the Kings on Friday, the play-in and beyond. We also have an interview with Jeff Adiego of Golden State Warriors camps coming up that Tim Roy did, so you have that to listen to as well. On the other side of this timeout, right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that,
chicken.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back here on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7, taking a look at the upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The Warriors wrap up their home slate tomorrow against the Lakers, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time here on 95.7. That's Fan Night, presented by Chase Freedom. Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. Then the Warriors back end of a back-to-back in Sacramento, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. Wrap up the regular season in Inglewood against the L.A. Clippers, 5 p.m. airtime, 5:30 tip time here on 95.7 with Tim Roy on the call. Again, if you want to hit us up, you got another 12 minutes or so to do so, because we have our interview with Jeff Adiego, the VP of Golden State's Basketball Academy. So if you want to get in, 888-957-9570. And we have another regular caller, Big Al in SF, wants to talk some Dubs shooty hoop with us. What's up, Big Al?
You know, guys, I always enjoy listening to you guys, and I'm surprised you even let me call in, because I'm going to be quite the contrarian to everybody on this call, anybody that's listening, because I don't want to see Portland at all. I look at Portland. And we lost the first three to Portland, and then we won the fourth at home. And Portland is more athletic, they're bigger, and they're longer. And when we first, all four games we played them, they didn't have Scoot. Scoot was still on the injured list with, I think, a hamstring issue. That team scares me, because we don't match up well against them. We match up much better against the Clips. We're 2-1 against the Clips. We played them on Sunday, And I understand that in that game, if it doesn't mean anything, St. U, me, R.C. Davis, and Tim Roy are all suiting up. We're all playing 48 minutes.
I love it.
But my I guess what my point is that we match up much better against the Clips. We were 2-1. We got jobbed by the referees on a non-goaltending call. That was a 5-point swing, and we should be we should actually have that series in hand. I'm just honestly, I look at Portland's length. I love this kid in the middle, Klingon. I love Scoot. That's a tough matchup for us.
Fair enough.
Well, Big Al, I tip my hat to you as usual because you're on top of it. That was a great breakdown. I was leaning the other way because I know Leonard has got, like, Kev, help me a little bit. He's got over 20 or 30 straight games of 20-plus points.
Yep.
I know he's dealing with a sprained wrist, but that guy could flat-out take over the game. And that's how much respect I have for him. He is really playoff tested.
Yeah.
And I think the Garland move has really helped them. And I'm going to be quiet here, but you've got one of the top three or four coaches in the entire league in Tyrone Lue. You got a young coach up there. But I hear what you're saying because I tell my son this. Gosh, they've done a heck of a job up there. They just, I don't know, Henderson's played maybe 10, 15 games. But Grant is out again. I like that big kid that you talked about, Al. And the how do I pronounce the Israeli kid's name, Kev?
Denny Avdija.
That guy, I will learn how to pronounce his name because for the next 10 years, he's going to be an all-star. That guy is special.
Yes.
He can put it up against you. So I respect that breakdown totally. And it'll be interesting to see matchups because the playoffs matchups are so important because the game does slow down. And the one reason I went that way is because I don't think I know that they've got a 3-1 advantage, but they don't have a lot of playoff experience up there.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I Kevin, I know you do too. I love Holiday. I think he's one of the best people, players in the entire league. I don't know that you ever talked to anybody on any team that wouldn't give you kudos for what he's done as his career. The generosity of he and his wife off the floor is amazing. His foundation. And wherever he's gone, he's taken over that locker room. Not loud, just being a pro. And it's really something to watch. So who knows? Let's just take care of business here these next couple games and feel good about going into the play-in game.
Hey, Saint, the only thing wrong with Drew Holiday is that he went to UCLA. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm especially kidding because Nat Nwankwo, the head coach of the Golden State Valkyries, went to UCLA, just giving them a hard time. Congrats to UCLA women's basketball and winning the national championship this year, doing so in dominant fashion. I do want to correct something. We're going to get to RJ and Napa in just a little bit, but I do want to correct something I said earlier. I said Portland had the inside track on 8. They're actually a game behind the Clippers right now, but I said they had the inside track on 8. Because the Clippers have a really tough schedule coming down the stretch. The Clippers have to play the Thunder tonight. They are at Portland later as well. And they have kind of a rough go of it down the stretch. And whereas the Portland Trail Blazers, they host the Clippers. They're at San Antonio tonight, but they host the Clippers, and then they host Sacramento to end the regular season. So that's why I said Portland had the inside track, though technically the Clippers are the 8 seed. All right, let's head out to RJ in Napa. RJ, what's going on?
Good evening, gentlemen. UCLA is putting together a nice little athletic program over there. They finally got a women's national championship, and I think they had a Heisman Trophy winner about 50 years ago, so that's good for them, you know. I'm a Trojan, in case you couldn't tell. But anyway,
fight on.
I had a question for Saint actually regarding Charles Bassey, and I just got in the car, so if you guys have already covered this, I apologize. But I've just been really impressed by him, and I think it's so refreshing to see a 7-footer actually play under the basket and score inside and block shots and everything. I kind of forgot what that was like. So my question is for Saint, in your coaching career, and I understand it's the end of the season, it's just a roster filler, et cetera, et cetera. But can you remember in your coaching career a player coming onto one of your teams in that kind of end of the season situation to where he ended up not only sticking but actually becoming a decent player on your roster going forward? So thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
Well, I'll take you back. And Kev, you tell me what the heck we called it best, CBA. Back then.
Oh, the Continental Basketball Association.
Mario Ellie, who has multiple championship rings, and Vincent Askew.
Ah, yes.
George Carl was the coach in Albany, the Patroons.
The Patroons.
And we knew him well, and we needed a couple of guys, mid-sized guys, wing kind of players. Well, they came in, and that was their cup of coffee, and then they had long careers, especially Mario. So it's happened. You're right. Now, bigs, maybe not as much, because bigs are really hard to come by still to this day, even though we don't have any low post game. But that's a really good question, because I'm sure there's a heck of a lot more stories like I just told.
Yeah. Albany Patroons, Phil Jackson coached Albany, right?
Yes, he did. Well? We were in an exhibition game playing Cleveland, and we were at a Marriott in the middle of nowhere, and they were staying there. And, and I knew him from his Knick days, and I just had a good feel about him. And because he's a good guy and very intelligent. And, he went on to have a heck of a career, no doubt about
that.
That's
for sure. You mean to tell me a CBA team stayed at a Marriott? And not some low-budget hotel?
Yeah, well, wasn't the Hampton Inn or something like that, yeah.
Okay. Wow, they had it going on there in the CBA. We have a few minutes before we get to this Jeff Adiego interview. Curious to ask you about the Lakers, Saint. They're coming up for Golden State tomorrow night at Chase Center, regular season home finale. Of course, your son's an assistant on that team. And last time we talked on this show, everything was roses for the Warriors, for the Lakers. They've been playing great. LeBron had accepted his role as the third banana. Luka was kind of making a late season MVP push. Then 24 hours later, they lose by 43 to the Thunder, and both Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic get hurt, and now they're out the rest of the regular season. And probably, through a decent part of the first round, at least, you would think, with the injuries they have.
Well, I'll give you the mass unit update.
Okay.
Reeves is doing better than Luka, and maybe toward the end of that first round that he might be able to come back. But oblique is tough. You know, that's right where your rib cage is, and lifting your arms and twisting and stuff is very difficult. Luka's flown to Spain. He's having some kind of PCP or those different injections with the hamstring. Yeah. Also, there's this 65 game rule, and they're kind of filing a protest because he went to see the birth of his child. Well, he's going to get to see his kids when he goes over there too, but I don't see him coming back at all. So
really,
you're decimated, and you're talking about going to the end of the bench. I'll say this point blank. The Warriors' depth is much better than the Lakers.
So I agree
with them
to
have dig down, they don't have the pieces. And so it'll be really difficult for them. Now, the only thing they'd have going, I said before, is if they could win their last three, win tomorrow, beat the Suns at home, beat Utah at home, then they would have home court, which would mean a lot to a team that's really banged up. It's tough. I feel for him. Greg flew up. They flew up today, and he's in here in my house with my grandsons, and they're having a blast. I had to close the door so you guys wouldn't have to listen to him for the hour. But it's a tough go for them. If we're getting close toward your interview, Kev.
Yeah.
I might share a little thought about Jeff Adiego.
Yeah, please
I'm
do.
GM. This is how long ago this was. And my assistant was Otis Smith, who played for us.
Yeah.
And he was just a great guy. He went on to be the GM in Orlando and did a great job there. Well, I think he might also gone in some capacity to Detroit before that. But anyway, he came in one day and he said, Saint, I got this young guy and I just think he's special. And that's when the team was just starting to talk about camps. Well, I don't know how many people are knowledgeable about this, but what a job he's done. There's a reason why he's been made a vice president. They are everywhere. They're all over out here in the East Bay. They're down in the peninsula. They're up in the Napa area. And they've got terrific young people that work for them. They teach the game very well. It's a positive environment. The kids are having fun. They try to get a lot of Warrior people to come and speak. You know, they give lectures. And I used to do it quite a bit when I could move around a little bit. And, boy, I have a lot of praise for him. He's just a great, great guy, and I'm happy the way this has gone for him. He's really, really a team guy, a special, special guy.
Yeah, he's been with the organization, as you mentioned, Saint, since 1999. So he's now the VP
dang it,
of
I'm getting old.
He's the VP of Golden State Sports Academy of Golden State Warriors. So he conducts the basketball camps. He is an institution within the Warriors. So Saint, we'll let you go. Tim Roy has this 10-minute interview here with Jeff Adiego of Golden State Sports Academy.
It.
And I'll wrap up the show on the other side of this interview right now with Tim Roy and Jeff Adiego.
Tim Roy talking with Jeff Adiego at the Golden State Sports Academy. Used to call it the Warriors basketball camps back in the day. That's how long you and I have been around. And what's the start there before we get into the specifics of today's conversation? Let's go back. And when you first started, how many camps did you have? How many employees did you have?
So we've evolved a little bit from those early days. So our first summer of camps, we had 4 camp sessions. I was an intern at the time getting it off the ground. And that first summer, you know, even though, you know, this is back in summer of 2000, that the Warriors team back then, a little bit different than the Warriors team we've seen for the past, you know, 12, 13 years. But even though the team wasn't great back then, we actually sold out all 4 of those camps, and we kind of figured out we were onto something. And so from that point on, we just began to grow, adding a couple more sessions each and every year to the point where each summer we're offering 40 camps throughout the Bay Area, probably 25 different locations. We have about 120 coaches working for us now, and we have 8 full-time staff within kind of our academy department. So we've grown quite a bit.
And you hire, I know this for a fact, that you hire a lot of coaches who are from the Bay Area, who grew up here, they know about the Warriors, but they also played here, high school or college.
100%. So, you know, what actually makes me feel old now is a lot of our camp coaches now are actually former campers. So, you know, they came through the program as a kid. It obviously had an impact on them, and now they want to play that role in impacting the next generation. So it really comes full circle.
Last February, you guys had a great announcement. You collaborated with Shoot 360. Let's define that. What is Shoot 360, and where are some of the locations that people can go to?
Yeah, so Shoot 360, you know, really some performance technology that really elevates the game. It's something that we incorporated into the Oakland practice facility when we took over back in 2020, just to kind of give you an idea of what it's all about. Basically, they have shooting courts and skills courts where it's really interactive. There's kind of video game elements where, you know, you're trying to beat your top score, you're throwing the ball at the screen and targets are exploding and things like that. And then when you get to the shooting courts, it's giving you all the metrics that, you know, pro players get during their workout. So you're learning about the arc of your shot, the depth of your shot, your left-right differential. So just some real key analytics that can help you improve at a very rapid pace. And then the workouts themselves are super efficient. So in a 30-minute shooting drill, you're going to get about 300 shots up. So it's really efficient. It really allows players to get better faster. And it's something, you know, when we put it into Oakland, it was something that we wanted to really drive frequency of kids coming in and getting addicted to working on their game and kind of using technology to do that.
Where was this when you and I were in high school?
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, this could have been huge.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
So again, tell me a little bit about the when you talk about the technology, is it skills like passing, dribbling, and shooting?
100%. So on the skills court, you're working on dribbling, you're working on passing. We even have some defense packages that you can work on, and we actually got some custom content from our players. So during media day, we had them do some ball handling drills, and we captured that content. And when we had Gary Payton II come up, and we gave him some ball handling drills, he said, "Wait, I want to do defense." So Gary actually did some defensive drills and some lane slides and closeouts and things like that. So we actually have a defensive package that you can do, probably about 5-minute package that you can do with Gary Payton II at our facility.
Well, Tom Toll will be very happy to hear you're doing closeouts. That's a big deal for him, okay? So be aware of that. So where are the new locations?
Yeah, so we're super excited. You know, obviously we've been in Oakland with this technology for about 5-6 years now, but we'll be expanding later this spring to San Francisco over at Stonestown, and then down in San Jose, Almaden area, South San Jose, and then Newhall Drive, which is right by the San Jose airport.
And of course, when you talk about Oakland, that's where the Golden State Valkyries practice.
100%. So the kids that come and work out in Oakland are actually practicing in a WNBA facility, and it was actually the facility for the Golden State Warriors from 1997 all the way to 2019. So Steph spent about 10 years of his career honing his skills in that gym, so it's got a lot of history, and hopefully that inspires our kids when they come in to work out.
One of the coolest things that the Sports Academy started to implement years ago was the overnight camps, when campers stay overnight. I can still remember seeing this thing on social media where Steph Curry is knocking on doors in the middle of the night. These campers are going, "What? What's going on here?" I mean, how did you guys develop that, and who came up with that idea?
So it actually all started with Steph. So we did an event down in Pebble Beach, and this was when Draymond and Harrison Barnes were rookies. But the two of them, plus Clay and plus Steph, came down there, and I think it was an event for some CEOs that Joe Lacob's affiliated with, and we did kind of a Warrior for a Day activation down there. And the AD of that school, Stevenson School, came to me during the clinic and said, "Man, if you guys ever wanted to do an overnight camp over here, we have dorms. You know, if Steph was interested, he could play golf during the day and spend the evenings with you guys at camp." And so I took that idea over to Steph during the clinic and told him about it. He said, "I'm in. Let me know when we can do this." So we started off in 2013. We actually did 6 summers of overnight camp with Steph Curry, and we even did one in Hawaii. So it's been pretty special, and he really paved the way for the rest of the guys to want to jump on board and do it. So, you know, typically when Raymond has me go in and talk to the guys about jumping in and do overnight camp, Steph's usually the ringleader to let them know, "Hey, this is kind of way of passage. You got to do this as part of your deal here with the Warriors." And a lot of guys choose to come back and do it multiple years.
I remember closing one of those at the Stevenson School with Steph, and I think his dad was there, and Del Curry, and so that was always a lot of fun. So this year they're at the Sephora Performance Center. You got Brandon Pajemski on July 3rd through the 6th, and the second session runs 6 through 9 with Will Richard and Guy Santos. And these are two young guys that are perfect for, I think, this type of camp, because they're guys that have worked on their games to get to where they are. They're a lot better now than they were at the beginning of the year.
Definitely. We're super blessed to be able to work with these three guys. This will be Brandon's third time doing overnight camp with us, to be able to do it at the Sephora Performance Center. So we have that tie-in as well. And then, obviously, we're attached to the Oakland Marriott. So, you know, our overnight campers and our staff stay at the Marriott. We're basically in that building for about 4 days straight, getting as much basketball as you could ever want. And then just super excited to have Guy and Will a part of it. Guy joined us last year for his first time. And then, obviously, Will being a rookie, this is his first time. But if you're a parent and you're watching our team play, you know, those are two guys for sure that you want your kids to emulate and kind of use as role models.
Well, young R.C. Davis would have racked up a lot of room service if he had gone there to the Marriott, but, you know, we'll leave that aside.
I would have loved to see his jumper on Shoot 360. Huh?
I've seen it. I've seen some clips of the jumper. It's interesting, to say the least. A couple of things I want to ask you before we let go. And first of all, aside from the Shoot 360, the overnight camps, you guys have your normal schedule of camps this summer?
Yes. So, like I said earlier, about 40 sessions throughout the Bay Area. I think we're in 9 different counties this summer. We go down to Santa Cruz, up to Santa Rosa. So pretty much, you know, wherever you are in the Bay, we hope to have a session within 10 to 15 minutes of wherever you live. So we try to bring it to you, make it easy, make it convenient. And, you know, our goal is to get kids fired up about the game of basketball and develop that love and passion that, you know, is part of our lives as well.
Yeah, there's no question about the fact that playing basketball as a kid and into high school for me taught me the value of being part of a team and told me that even if I wasn't the best player on that team, I could make a play to help us win. It might be something small, but I could do that. So Steph Curry has been a big part of all of our journeys here with the Warriors franchise and with Golden State. So you've been around this a long time, and you've seen, you know, everywhere we go on the road, little kids walk in with Steph Curry jerseys. What impact have you seen on the game from the youth level that Steph has had that maybe we don't see because we're watching the NBA all the time?
I think it's brought in kids that, you know, didn't think they really had a shot to play basketball. I think he's given hope to just about anybody. You don't have to be someone that's going to grow into a 7-foot frame or built like LeBron to make it to this level. Obviously, the work Steph has put in to put himself in this position really can't be duplicated. But I think there's hope that he inspires within young players. You know, I can shoot a three. I may not be able to dunk the basketball, but I can work on my game. I can work on my shot and hopefully, you know, become the best player I can be. So I think, you know, him doing that, maximizing what he was given, I think, you know, is the example he set so that every player can, you know, really work hard and try to do the same thing, maximize what they've been given.
Well, Jeff, you know, you're always welcome on Warriors Radio. Anytime, anywhere, just stop by and put a headset on and we'll talk about it. It's great to see you. I don't get to see enough of you. And continue the great work. You're a gold standard now for the NBA. And we appreciate your time, appreciate the Golden State Sports Academy, and wish you guys nothing but success. You guys are doing great work.
I appreciate you, Tim. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, that was Tim Roy with the VP of Golden State Sports Academy, Jeff Adiego. Great stuff there. Thank you for that interview, Tim. Got a couple of minutes left, so the Warriors locked in at 10. They'll face either the Clippers or the Blazers in the 9-10 game. They got to win twice to make it into the playoffs. They've been locked into 10. As Draymond said for quite some time, he was talking about that and talking about some tanking stuff after their win over Sacramento, a team they're going to see on Friday. So it's Lakers tomorrow, Kings Friday, at the Clippers to wrap up the regular season. Ideally, it'd be great if while I think the better matchup would be Portland just because of the lack of playoff and play-in experience, it wouldn't be a bad thing if they just had to stay in L.A. and get rid of one plane ride. That would not be the worst thing in the world for the Warriors, though the Clippers have been playing very well as of late. After that 6-21 start, they're 35-17. And I remember once they got to 6-21, Tyronn Lue said, we just got to go 35-20 the rest of the way. Well, they've got those 35 wins, and they've got some games to play with, though it is a tough schedule down the rest of the regular season. A couple things I want to see from the Warriors to wrap up the regular season and to wrap up this show. I'd like to see Brandon Podziemski get to all 82 games. That would be nice. And if he can get to 14 points per game for a season, that would be great. He'd have to average 24 over his last three to get there. Stephen Curry to get to 40% from three on the season. I count 39.5% and up as 40%. And 200 made threes. He's going to play two of the last three games, you would think, because he's not going to play both ends of the back-to-back. So he'd need to hit 16 threes in the last two games that he plays. And I'd like to see 30 minutes of on-court time over those last two games together for Steph and Porzingis, because they played 8 minutes together against the Rockets, had a +25 net rating. So I'd like to see more of that. Well, that will do it for this show. We're not sure when our next show will be because it depends on if the Warriors are still alive in the play-in and when that game might be. So stay tuned to figure out when we may or may not be back on. Big thank you to Mark Randy and Lucas Alexander on the 95.7 The Game side of things. Big thank you to RC Davis and Marika Kleto on the Warriors side of things. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dennis saying sayonara, and we will talk to you sometime soon here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step left wing three. Cha-ching! 58-41. Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.